You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Upon the conclusion of the 2024 NHL Draft, Sharks Director of Amateur Scouting Chris Morehouse and their Director of Player Personnel Scott Fitzgerald sat down with the media to discuss the totality of the previous 2 days.
Evaluate the second day today for you guys.
Great day. I think we set out to add some depth in a lot of different areas, and I think we were able to do that. We added some skill and size in Chernyshov and continued on from there. So we're really happy with the day and how it started and how it ended.
For you guys, obviously, coming into this with the number one pick first time in history, what was it like just being able to kind of go through that first round and get two players in Celebrini? Because Celebrini was not necessarily the surprise, but to be able to grab Dickinson at 11 and just kind of load up on those two top talents right away. What was that like for you guys as part of the development team?
Well, it was for surely nice to get back in. And then, you know, with Sam, you know, we had him rated pretty high, and we were excited.
I think when you have a GM that's willing to make trades and move up and trust the scouts, we did it with Sam, did it with Wedge. It gives us a lot of confidence to be able to go out and do our job. So we obviously really like the players, or we wouldn't have gone and made those moves to get them. So we're super thrilled, and hopefully in 5 years' time, we know what we're talking about.
Going back to yesterday, this is, I guess, sort of for the fans. You get down to 11, and the two big names are the defensemen there, Dickinson and Puglia. Just what did that decision kind of come down to? Maybe the differences between those two guys for you?
We took the guy that was next on our board.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, we stayed consistent with the list.
Okay.
And it takes, you know, you work on it all year, and that's just how it felt.
And what stood out about Dickinson for you guys?
Everything. He's 6'3", skates, he can shoot a puck, he competes, he can make a first pass, he can defend, he can take games over with his size and mobility, and he's got outstanding character. So we're really excited about him, and I think, you know, all year you watched him kind of take the steps that we needed to see for him to be where he's at, and I think he really peaked at the end, so we're excited.
And one of the storylines from today will be drafting so many of Macklin Celebrini's childhood friends. Was that just sort of a coincidence, just how things broke?
Yeah, that was just coincidence, you know. You know, Wedgie's just a truculent type of a tough player, and, you know, if you watch the playoffs on TV, and it's, you know, you have to have some pushback and some grit, and he kind of checks that box, you know.
What about Colton, your opinion about?
Yeah, same thing. He's a big, big kid, and you know, good frame, and, you know, he's a down-the-road type of player, but like I said, you know, size usually prevails.
We also found that out after, by the way, that they...
Yeah.
That was an after thing, so yeah, you can't write that we...
Yeah, we didn't.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe somebody did, but I, the one sitting there saying, yeah, I had no idea, so that's a coincidence. We did know Wedge because the two of them talked about it, but it wasn't by design.
No LeBron James, Bronny situation, right?
Yes.
Nope. How do you guys feel about the goalie class this year? Obviously, you picked up two. Maybe not any...
No,
for us, we
trust our goalie guys, and we got the number one goalie on our board, and we got, I think it was the number two or three goalie on our board. So for us, you know, obviously every organization is different, every team has different lists of which goalies are which, but we added our, you know, two of our three favorites, so we're pretty excited. And goalies are, as you know, are very different. Where you get them, where they're from, what their age is. You know, we think we got two kids that can stop the puck, that have a good, long development path. One kid's going to USHL, then he's going to go to school. The other kid's playing in Russia and has lots of time to develop. So we're, you know, we don't know, obviously, but just because they're taken later doesn't mean we see any less value there.
What do you guys like about Christian as far as his way, like you say, he's coming over to North America, he's learning the game. What stands out about him?
Well, we've seen him a lot live in all those four or five nations and U18 events, and he's a big athletic kid. And again, like Chris mentioned, USHL, he's got a long path. He's gonna be going to UMass Amherst. I think the size and the athleticism is what really kind of got us to move those names over to our goalie guys.
How do you
for a deeper look, you know.
You guys came in almost 2 years ago, and you know the cupboards. You still need a lot of work to fill the cupboards here. And, you know, how do you feel about the foundation you guys have laid here with the picks, not only this year but last year? And, you know, some of the guys that are here just drafted in 2022 as well.
Personally, I like the look of our cupboard right now. You know, I give a ton of credit to Mike and management. To your point, 2 years ago, from where it was from a prospect perspective to now, and you know, we've made a lot of really good moves to be aggressive and assertive, and trades and picking up prospects. And even today, we added 4D. You know, we added two big right shot D. Last year, we had the group. Last year, the year before, they added. So I think in terms of where we are, we're very excited, but it's also amateur scouting, and they're 18, 19 year old kids, and we have to let this play out. But in terms of what we've been able to accomplish in a very short amount of time, I think we're excited, and I think we're on the right track.
Hang on a sec. I'll echo the same. What Chris said, Mike Greer has come in, had a plan. Let's get some size in here. Let's get multiple picks, and let's try to restock the cupboard. It's after 2 years, I think, I'm biased, but I think we've done a good job here. Mike's allowed the guys to work that Chris is in charge of, and you know, it seems I feel we're doing a really good job with that.
Jumping off of Curtis's question, has this weekend felt like sort of a bit of a rebirth for the franchise? I mean, you obviously got the prize last night with Macklin and Sam, and you just talked about the cupboards filled up.
I think when you get a player of Macklin's ability, historically, right? I mean, the needle moves pretty good, and that's what we envision. The multiple picks, getting a little lucky, right? Some guys follow you. It's just all part of the process. I think we've been good, but we've been lucky. Again, with some players to be there. At the end of the day, we select the players based off of what we like, but the other 31 teams who they decide to take and who's left plays into it too, and that's where the little bit of a luck is coming into it. But I like where we're at with the Macklin pick, and then going back last year with some important picks with Smitty and Musty and Haltunen and all those other kids. Like I think it's a good process that Chris has put in place, and I think we'll just keep pushing every year with that, and I think the results will continue to show in that fashion.
With that said, was there any players that maybe you felt like you guys missed out on, maybe after the third, fourth, or fifth round, you guys were targeting?
Not today. I think, again, everybody's board or list are so different when you get past. I mean, even this year it happened early because of the, you know, everybody knew who was going to go one, but then it was kind of what was going to go on. So I think we just stay the course. We put our stuff together. I mean, we spend 12 months. Like, once this draft's over, guys are going to have a couple weeks. We're already preparing for the Ivan Olenka in August. There's an under-20 event in Europe in August. So we take a lot of time putting this stuff together. And, yeah, Pitsy nailed it. There is a lot of luck involved in terms of where guys are going to fall and how it works out. But I think what we did a really good job this year is just – you know, continue to keep a look at that cupboard, figure out where we're still missing some pieces. And again, if you know, we picked up Edstrom, we have Bystedt, now you have Smith, now you have Zach Macklin, now you have, you know, Dickinson, you know, then we picked Celine Wallenius, who's another really good puck moving D, plays hard and competes. So we, you know, we like to say we keep an eye where we're at and where we want to go, and then also kind of have a feel of what we need to try and accomplish that day. So I just think we're not going to get carried away with, you know, with rebirth, or I think we're just continually trying to put together, and Mike trusts us to find players, and we're going to try and execute Mike's plan.
Chris, what's your gauge on the excitement level that's kind of come back and surrounding the franchise right now?
I'm excited. So my excitement level is great. I think seeing the fans last night at SAP was really cool. I think even the fans yelling and screaming and, you know, during the draft. If people aren't excited, I would recommend start to get excited, because I think there's a lot of really good hockey people in this organization, and there's a lot of really good people that care. And if you have those combinations, I think special things can happen. So I think we're just going to continue day by day, piece by piece, try and keep putting good players in the organization.
Can you talk about the excitement coming into the draft and potentially getting, you know, like getting a potentially generational player like Macklin? Are you guys thinking coming in here?
Yeah, it's always, it's the excitement is up. We're thrilled beyond, you know, we also don't want to put unfair pressure on a kid that's supposed to go in and turn a franchise around at 17 years old. I think he's a very, very special player that I love, and I'm really happy he's ours, but I think he's a young kid, and I think it's just tapering expectations is kind of, I'm always like that because every kid develops differently, but this kid is a all-world human being and an all-world player, so we're thrilled.
Mike said yesterday that the 33 pick, the first pick today, was sort of, you know, he's open-minded about what to do with it. And so was there, you know, any offers or just temptation to move away from that, or did you guys like Chernyshov so much that, you know, this was going to be your guy? Just like, any insight on that part of it?
No, we just like the player, you know. Our board says one thing, and that usually dictates what we do. Right, and we left last night, went back to the hotel, met for a little bit, and pretty much a no-brainer. That was our guy.
First round talent on our board, we had him in the first round. So we figured going into it that pick would have a lot of value. Typically, if teams miss out in the first round, they really want to try and they really like someone the next day, it becomes valuable. But we feel like we got a first round talent, and we're really excited, and the kid's got a lot of talent.
Size has been a big topic of conversation, right? You know, nothing against the William Mecklins and the Thomas Bortolo, but since you guys and Greer have come in, Edstrom, Bistad, these guys have size. What do you look for other than size? What makes those guys stand out other than the fact that they're bigger players?
Just competitive skill, right? I mean, there's no success without being competitive. You know, that's the number one thing. You gotta compete or you won't be a Shark, basically.
For you guys, obviously, last year, David Kuhn was here, but now working with Ryan, obviously, he's been part of the organization. How was that kind of working with him and kind of maybe choosing some of the players that he kind of had his eye on or something, you guys working with him rather than maybe a David Quinn? What were the differences there?
Typically, we don't, that coaches...
They're separate.
Yeah. Typically, coaches don't have a ton of, at least... with me in terms of scouting, and not saying it's him in particular, just in general, you know, coaches are coaching for today and a little bit of the future. It's kind of a separate,
two separate things.
Yeah, separate things.
Two separate things.
Chris, I heard you on a podcast not too long ago on NHL.com saying there's going to come a day Mike Kerr trades these first round picks to get playoff help and that kind of thing. How do you feel about just the process right now, where you guys are at right now? Think maybe in 2 or 3 years that these organizations got to get to a point where it's maybe trade these first round.
I mean, the hope is that, like I said in the interview, is, you know, when you get to a point where you're turning and you have your core and you're trying to, you know, go at it every year and make runs in playoffs, that's when those picks become valuable to move. I hope it's not because I don't know what I'm doing. I hope it's because we're in a spot where we're really comfortable with our core and you can start adding pieces. I think. Again, we're still in that phase of just hoarding as much talent as we possibly can. And again, talent might look different for you guys than it did for us in terms of what we want. But I think everybody we draft to the Sharks, especially the last, you know, 3 years and moving forward, are going to be players that we truly believe fit a role in our organization. So if we don't have picks, then maybe it's a little easier.
You guys talked about the atmosphere here, and this is the last year of the in-person draft. You gonna miss or the hype, you know, the hoopla, or is it just, you know, just more convenient to have everybody at the home office?
Well, there's only one Vegas, right? I mean, it's a pretty big show, fabulous building. You know, at the end of the day, the league chose to go. Back to the home base like the other sports, and it's not going to change anything. It's my 26th draft, so I've basically seen every building a couple times, and it's just...
But I'm sure
wherever we'll be and ready to go wherever we're doing it.
But I'm sure it must have fired up everybody at the table when Jumbo announces back at Celebrity and the crowd goes crazy. And I'm sure you guys at the table like, this is a great, great, great day for the organization.
I really liked Joe's point when he pointed. You know, so it was, to me that was pretty telling. It was good, and you know, it's what I was thinking of at that moment was with Joe announcing Macklin's pick. It was like, we're going to get back to the Joe Thornton, Patty Marlowe, and those other great players that were here that I could spend an hour naming. And the Shark Tank will be going eventually, just little by little steps.
Take a couple more. The excitement around the team is obviously growing. You're mentioning, you know, the excitement, but just there's, you know, the visual, the sellout of the draft party, obviously the fans traveling to Vegas just to see the building full. What would that mean? You know, obviously you guys are behind the scenes, but to see the support of the players after what a lot of them went through last season, what would that mean to them as players, you know, just getting that support that, not to say they didn't, but more of it?
I think it's sometimes we forget because we're not really, you know, in San Jose all the time. We go there obviously and meet, but in general we're on the road, we're not involved, we're not watching the games, we're not seeing the losing streaks, we're not, you know, going through what everybody went through last year. So for us, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. We're just continuing to drive, do our job, go to games, do reports. But to have, you know, win the lottery and then the excitement, I mean, it's good to have people feeling good again. Because seeing teams go through those losing streaks, and even for the guys that are in the office, we feel like we're executing the plan that had to be done. And so, but it's not always easy to sit there and go through it. So for this, for everybody, for all the people involved, for everybody loves the Sharks, we got a really good player. We got a player that is incredible, and everybody should be excited. I think it's just one of those things where we're always a little bit more of, we don't want to put any pressure on anybody, because every kid develops differently, and we might not seem like we're rah-rah, you know, yelling up and down that we got number one, but trust me, we're very, very excited.
I don't think we touched on him, and so we missed anybody else too, but wanted to make sure that we talked about everybody. We haven't really talked about Miskey, I think. Just what did you like about him?
You know, big mobile right shot D. Late bloomer last year went through. We had a lot of guys go in there and see him this year, and we like where his game's at. He's taking a step. We add another mobile right shot, can move pucks, got a decent shot, competes. Lots of like there. It's a, you know, big body.
Will all your draft picks be at development camp?
Everyone, I think,
the last goal.
The last goal.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Are you guys going to development camp?
Yes.
Yep.
Are you excited to see just how we've heard a lot about how Macklin kind of just raises the level of the guys around him? Even in the development camp atmosphere, are you kind of looking forward just to seeing how he fits in and how he affects the group overall?
Yeah, I think his drivenness, we'll call it, I think that'll be very contagious. Usually the real special ones drag everybody along.
Even the guys
we hope.
Yeah. A couple of years older maybe fit into that category too.
Yeah.
Maybe
just like, absolutely.
I don't want this kid to show me up.
I mean, when you bring in talent and you surround talent with talent, oftentimes talent will push other talent. And so we're looking at now where we have a combination of Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. You know, how could you not like that? And they're going to push each other and they're going to fuel each other. And I think, again, with Fitzy said it about compete with Mike, if we continue to bring in competitive kids want to be the best. They want to continue to push. So we keep bringing in competitive kids into a competitive environment. That's when you start having that eternal competition that really drives and fuels good teams.
Stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network for all 2024 draft coverage and the upcoming development camp and prospect scrimmage on the 4th of July, which can be heard right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Nick Nolenberger and Drew Remenda will be on the call. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify, and on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yend.